I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
David, come down and get himself a dog.
David, are you a pet guy?
Nope.
No pets, huh?
Had two for a while. Oh, I'm allergic. So that doesn't make it great.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cats. I love cats. I'm allergic to them. I can't have them.
Yep.
They just destroy me.
Yeah.
All right, David. As far as Christmas days of the year for you, this has to be right up there, right?
Yeah, it's a lot more fun when you have a draft pick, though. But this draft does seem like it's going to be nuts. And then talking to people around the league in the last day or so, the concept does seem to be, you know, very much that. We're just checking out a rental car, so there's a bunch of things going on while I'm talking to you.
Gotcha.
This draft, it does feel as though there's a fundamental change going on in the league right now. That is that free agency is getting harder and harder to play for people because of the luxury tax and because of the all those kind of things are taking place. And so, and also just players are asking for extensions and get trades, and the draft picks are the assets. And so it does feel like today is, you know, going to have a little bit more of a wilder impact on things than usual. Particularly also because this draft seems to be kind of four players. Ivy's moved himself into that fourth player kind of realm. But then after that, I don't know what this draft has. Now, that could also mute the movement. Like, when I hear all the stories about everybody making trades and doing things, I'm a little skeptical in the sense that, you know, if we don't all believe in the talent, like, who's giving up a lot of things to get things right now? And this draft does seem to fall off and just be, you know, in every other draft, there just seem to be guys, you know, this does not seem to be like the middle of the draft, which is Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, and the rest. Now, on the other end, last year's draft, it did seem better than this, but it's turned out to be one of the most productive drafts we've ever had. So in that sense, maybe the talent coming into the league is just better and better every year right now.
David, I watched Locked On Jazz with you this morning, and I loved the aspect you were talking about buying in to the draft, Utah Jazz, and their ability to buy in. And you were talking about how that, you know, some of the teams that really don't need the buy-in, they don't need the money. What is a likely possibility of the Jazz buying into the draft, or is it getting more unlikely at this point?
I think the first round is really unlikely. There was a period of time in which the draft picks were $3 million for a draft pick, and when the Jazz paid Denver $3 million, I think it was, to get Rudy Gobert, like, that was a good deal for Denver, and Denver's always been a franchise that's been a little, you know, we're expecting to move Monte Morris today, after already moving to Michael Green in a little bit of a salary dump kind of things are expected out of Denver. They've just never been a team that's brought that salary. They've always been willing to kind of get out from under things. And so I think that when you see them right now, when you see that right now, though, you're not going to do that deal. Like, they wanted that $3 million from the Jazz for Rudy Gobert because they want $3 million. But a draft pick, as the salary cap has risen, is so much more valuable than $3 million now, because against the tax that's keeping you there, it's a low-salary player, particularly at 27 is a great pick. Though some of the teams at 27, 28, and 29 kind of want out of the draft, and you can't trade those picks. That's the one thing that's worth noting on those picks. Those are untradeable picks because of the fact that, like, what are you going to do, trade it for a future first protected to 28? Like, you just can't can't trade those. So those might be available, maybe. But generally, first-round picks are worth more than $3 million now, and so now you're buying into the second round. I thought the Lakers made a great trade today. Like, that seemed to be to get a top 10 pick, or a top 10 pick of the second round is much more valuable than a bottom 20 pick of the second round. So that seemed like a really good trade by the Lakers today.
David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Do you anticipate player movement coming up in some way, shape, or form today?
I mean, if I say yes to this question, everyone's going to say Locke knows something. I don't know anything, but yes, I do.
No.
Like, I think we all do, right? Like, I think there's no expectation that we're rolling out a starting lineup next year of Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert, right? Like, wouldn't you be flabbergasted if that happened? I'd be flabbergasted.
Oh, yeah. Not going to happen.
And so there's only two ways to get that done. One is today, and the next one is, you know, 7 days from now, the beginning of free agency. But frankly, trades are much easier to get made today in some ways than they are in because you can make them today and just hold them for 6 days if you need to, and draft capital moves meters right now. So, you know, if you suddenly don't have the draft component to the trade, now you're trying to make it 10 days from now. There's very few trades that you're talking about today with people that are going to then be made, that you don't come together on, that then get made 10 days later, right? Like, I actually can't think of a lot of circumstances where we hit July 2nd, 3rd, or 4th in free agency and suddenly, we're going to make this trade now. No, that trade was generally done by 23rd or 24th on draft day. So if there's three ways we're making deals, three ways we're changing our roster: draft picks, we don't have any, trades, and free agency, we don't have any money because we're into the tax. So today's the day, it seems.
David, do you believe,
Are you excited or nervous?
I think everything, because it was all lined up this way. Like, I think the writing's been on the wall for a long time that today was going to be a big day. That's why, you know, this morning, you know, the alarm goes off and I'm immediately on Twitter. Like, it's all of a sudden you realize it's 7:30 Eastern time. And so am I, like, what did I miss? Is something going on, you know? And, you know, you set your alerts for Woj and Shams and all that stuff, because it feels like, and we've felt this since the end of the regular season, like, if this was going to happen, it was today or slightly before today was going to be the day.
I would agree with you. It hit me last night. Like, oh my gosh. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I was fine with status quo. I understand we've not had great playoffs the last few years, but, you know, I was a really big fan of our coaching staff, and I'm a really big fan of our players. And I think Rudy's amazing, and I think Donovan's amazing, and I think it's just really, really hard to win in this league. And sure, we've got to adjust some things around it, but and Mike's, you know, one of the better dudes I've dealt with, and Bojan is, like, as I said all throughout the playoffs, like, if I'm going down a dark playoff alley, I want Bojan right next to me. And so I have a dread kind of right now, but I think that's because I'm too attached to everything, because I'm just nervous about, you know, and frankly, if you look at the fact that Danny's involved in this and his track record, there's really no reason to have that dread other than emotional attachment to players, which I certainly have. And, from a fan standpoint, I think there should be some, eagerness and wondering what's going to happen here. Because, you know, frankly, Danny's always been very, very good at this. You know, and the other end, I think one of the most important things in Danny's track record is he didn't trade Jason Tatum. Right? In every single one of those deals where Danny didn't make a deal, they all wanted Jason Tatum. And he didn't make them. You know why? Because Jason Tatum's going to win an MVP in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, he's set to do so. David, follow Donovan Mitchell on a lot of his social media platforms, and with what Adrian Wojnarowski released and some of the things that I see come from Donovan, I feel like he's growing more and more unsettled being here in Utah. Do you get that feel at all that he's more and more unsettled with being here?
When you mentioned Woj, are you talking about the absurd thing he put out today, Quinn Quitt, or is there something new?
No, the thing that would seem Donovan Mitchell's team had him put out, would be my guess.
Just hit delete on that. That was a joke.
Really? Because we just saw one come out in regards to Kevin Durant. I'm just curious.
I missed it. What's the latest on Durant? This is a crazy situation. Like, you get in bed with Kevin devil, look what happened.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Okay, here, this came from Shams. Kevin Durant is monitoring the Brooklyn Nets situation and considering options for his future. This now opens the path for Kyrie Irving to proceed on finding a new home via opt-in and trade.
Can we talk about this one for a second? This is what's fascinating here on that one. This also kind of relates to, like, the question I asked Danny when I was talking to him in the conversation we had at UtahJazz.com and Utah Jazz on YouTube, where, you know, like, what's the player involvement in your coaching search? Well, like, the Nets handed their franchise to two players, right? They handed the entire franchise to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They just, like, rolled over. Here's the front door, Matt. Here's the front door. Put the furniture where you want. Like, the house is yours. We have no opinion. We have no structure. We have no core. We have no essence. We have no anything. We just want you so badly you can have the entire place. And then they brought their friend DeAndre Jordan, and he, like, spilled the keg all over everybody's couch and threw bottle caps through windows, and no one told him to stop, right? Like, and then they just had, right? Like, and now what they have is a thrashed house. Like, there's got to be some structure and order, and you just can't let stars run your entire organization. You can do some things where they're comfortable and like it. Didn't work so well for Oklahoma City either, frankly, who did the same thing, basically. Like, Oklahoma City owned their house and then turned over the mortgage to everyone else, right? Like, this is a lesson to be learned on it's, you know, and we always complain that we can't play the star game in Utah. Maybe the star game's not that good, right? The winningest franchise in the league over the last few years are Miami, Utah, and Milwaukee. None of them are playing that star game.
Mm-hmm. I love this league. I tweeted this out. I love the NBA. I love this league. Best athletes on the planet by far. But this is the stuff that makes the league really unlikable sometimes. And really, I mean, I don't want to say not fun, but it's a real pain in the butt. And it makes you wonder what the new CBA, you know, the next CBA negotiations are going to look like, because I could see the owner saying,
stubborn.
Okay, we got to find a way to fix this.
Yep.
I mean, but the other real problem is the owners are about to roll into a TV contract. From my understanding, it could be as much as 2 times their TV contract right now. And if that's true, then the max salaries are $70 million a year.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's not ridiculous because the owners are making 51%, right? There's absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, actually, there's absolutely nothing ridiculous about it, because the 51-49 or whatever it is, called 50-50, just because I can't remember. So there's actually nothing ridiculous about it, because the owners are, it's not like they're making $70 million and the owners aren't making $70 million. They're all making $70 million. But it's just ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how do you control that? You can put in every structure and everything. But, like, if a player, once a player makes $70 million and you don't give him what he wants and he says, I'll sit out, he can sit out. Now, it's going to cost him $70 million, but he's got $140 million in the bank in the last 2 years.
Well, I think that the NFL has watched this guaranteed contract thing, and especially as of late, the way players are using it against the NBA. And the NFL is giving out some guaranteed money, but I'd say less than probably 5%, maybe 8%
of players. Only if you've got 73 sexual harassment charges against you.
Yeah. Oh, David, it's 24.
The NFL doesn't give you a guaranteed contract unless you're, like, totally, you know.
Well, And there's enough angry owners at that organization for giving out that guaranteed contract that it wouldn't surprise me if that dude's sitting out a full year just based on other owners saying, you got to make a statement
maybe
on this.
Maybe more.
There's no chance the NBA is getting rid of guaranteed contracts. We wouldn't play basketball for like 3 years. We'd have the live tour of the NBA if they went down that road.
Well, what I was saying is I think that the NFL looks at what the NBA has done and what the players are doing, and they're like, yeah, I don't care what you bring to the table. We'll never budge on this. Because I know NFL players would do anything to be able to secure those guaranteed contracts across the board because of
right.
obviously the security that it gives you. But to Scotty's point, I've got to imagine, even with the doubles, even with the $70 million and owners bringing in 51% of that and all the money that they could, I got to imagine the owners want to get to a point where they're like, we're not handcuffed anymore. I'm not letting you do this to me. This is absolutely – I can't build a team. I can't keep a team. I can't manage talent when they – because now you've got $51 million. In a single year, you can basically say, I'm done. I don't need anything more. I got to imagine that the NBA owners have to have something.
So I think what you're going to see is them holding to some sort of, if you don't play, you don't get paid. The Ben Simmons year is going to have long-term ramifications. Now, this gets into a debate I'm not comfortable having because I haven't talked to enough professionals, but let's say Ben Simmons really does have a mental health injury, okay? So if he tears his ACL, we're going to pay him, but if he has mental health, we're not? Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, that's where it's great to say this thing that we're going to hold our next CBA and have this rule that says if you don't play, you don't get paid, but we're paying you if you get injured. And we're going to somehow claim that if you have a mental health issue a mental health issue can be caused on the court the same way an ACL can. So I don't know how you possibly do it, but I do think they're going to shoot for it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We can get down that path of pre-existing conditions and is an event on the court directly related to a mental issue as much as jumping up and landing wrong, shredding a knee. Like, is there an individual event that happens on a court that can cause mental illness?
Are you going to do that? You're going to go to trial over these things or something, and then everyone's going to have their witnesses claiming it? There's just not a good answer there. So I actually don't think they're going to be able to do it. Now, if you're holding out for demanding a trade, but then no play, then you just get into semantics. Then players just say they don't demand a trade. They just don't play. They got a back injury. Prove it.
Hey, before we let you go.
Then they just go hard. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think here's the thing about it that's so interesting to me. And maybe this is just too hard to do. But Steph Curry and Tim Duncan are the two greatest players, winning players, and LeBron over the last, 15 years. And two of them are the most humble superstars, greatest team in the world. And actually, at the core of this and all this, what really should frustrate us is if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant go and do these things and then win. But that actually isn't what they're doing. They're doing all the things we've ever told our kids not to do, and they're not winning because of it. Whereas Giannis is one of the great teammates of all time. He's one of the great guys, teammates of all time, and they're winning. So maybe it's actually great. The messages we're sending our kids still actually parlay for our professional athletes, that the championships, and frankly, LeBron must be a pretty good. Everyone wanted to play with LeBron, right? Kobe, people were, and Chris Paul a little bit, people have flocked as though they were opposites or magnets, right, to get away from that circumstance. But LeBron, actually, everyone's to play within their career. I mean, Kyle Korver talked about LeBron like he's the greatest teammate he's ever had. So, and Jordan Clarkson actually pretty much said the same thing. So, I think LeBron probably deserves it in that regard. Now, he runs the franchise. But he might be, I was talking to someone the other day who said, LeBron coached those teams, so you can give it to Tyronn Lue, and you can give it to some, LeBron coached Frank Vogel, but LeBron coached those franchises. And he's a really good coach too. So, you know, maybe LeBron deserves, maybe I should put LeBron into that conversation as well. I didn't, but I'm not sure why not.
Well, David, we're up against it, man. We appreciate it. Have fun tonight, and let's catch up again here very soon to break this whole thing down, because it could be certainly very interesting. See what,
I think after four is where this thing gets nuts, and I think every pick is available for trade for somebody in this. Yeah. And then watch late in the first round. Those are untradeable picks. You really, after 25, you really can't trade it for a future first. It's almost impossible. And so maybe somebody, like there's, somebody's going to, one of those teams has the Warriors, I suspect, will actually trade like into the, just could literally trade their first round pick for a second round pick to somebody, asking for almost nothing else in exchange, because it'll save them about $11 to $12 million.
Thanks, David. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
you,
David.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.